Like generations of children before her, 8-year-old Chloe Tomsu is growing up with Dr. Seuss.
"Now, now, have no fear, have no fear," said the cat. "My tricks are not bad," said the cat in the hat. "Why, we can have lots of good fun if you wish, with a game that I call Up, Up, Up with a Fish."
Chloe says she loves Seuss tales like The Cat in the Hat because they make her laugh.
"These characters are very funny because the cat balances the fish on an umbrella, and the fish balances a cake and a bowl, and it turns into a big mess."
Seuss characters not only do outlandish things, but they look different as well. The author drew cats with long noses and elephants with wings. He created whole new creatures like the fuzzy yellow Lorax, who tries to keep trees from being chopped down. But Dr. Seuss can be silly without being condescending, says literary scholar Philip Nell.
"And I think that's maybe why children like his work, because they sense when they read his books that here's someone who's willing to talk straight to them in his own humorous way."
Philip Nell learned to read with the help of another Seuss classic, Green Eggs and Ham. He's now a professor at Kansas State University and the author of a new book called Dr. Seuss, American Icon. He says he chose his title to reflect the author's distinctively American spirit.
"Seuss tends to celebrate the rebels, the underdogs, the outsiders in his books. And I think that's a very American thing to do. Americans celebrate Independence Day, commemorating rebellion, not Constitutional Convention Day, commemorating the nation that was born from that rebellion. And so the Cat in the Hat and Sam I Am and Horton, these characters don't do what they're supposed to do. You know, why shouldn't an elephant hatch an egg? Why not fly kites in the house? Let's have some green eggs and ham."
"Why not?" says Chloe Tomsu.
"As you know, green eggs and ham can really exist. With food coloring on a drop of ham and eggs, it can actually turn green."
Theodore Seuss Geisel was born in 1904 in Springfield, Massachusetts, the son of a German-American brewery manager. He showed an early interest in drawing and writing, usually with a humorous bent. He took the pen name Seuss while writing for his college literary magazine and went on to work in advertising.
"From beer to ball bearings, fans, furnaces, radios, rifles, sugar, scotch, I mean, you name it, he did advertising."
Charles Cohen is a collector of Seuss memorabilia who's published a visual biography called The Seuss, The Whole Seuss, and Nothing But The Seuss. He believes his background writing ads helped Dr. Seuss when he began publishing books for children in the late 1930s.
"The ability to sell things to people, he had a knack for that, and that really is important when you're trying to get kids to read earlier and earlier. People were given word lists back then and told, this is all kids can understand. And he always seemed to think outside of the box, if you will, and say, kids are seeing comic books. They're seeing a lot of stuff that their ancestors didn't see. And so let me work a little bit earlier at getting the kids to read."
Dr. Seuss also used his playful stories to deliver messages about tolerance and respect. Philip Nell says the author's lifelong sympathy for outsiders was sharpened by his work as a political cartoonist during World War II.
"He wrote over 400 cartoons for PM, which was this liberal New York newspaper, and the cartoons were anti-fascist cartoons. They were anti-isolationist cartoons. They were also against racial discrimination, and at least in the message books of his post-war work, that's where you really see this political sensibility enacted. He said that the Sneetches was inspired by his opposition to anti-Semitism, where we learn that no kind of Sneetch is the best on the beaches, that the ones with the stars on their bellies and the ones without, you know, should be treated equally. And then there are books that are less obviously connected to politics, but are also there to change your mind, like The Lorax, where he wants people to be concerned about the environment and make sure that we protect it."
Dr. Seuss's popularity was fueled by the post-war baby boom and may have reached its climax in 1957 when he published both How the Grinch Stole Christmas and The Cat in the Hat. Charles Cohen says the two books seem to reflect the two sides of the author's personality.
"His stepdaughter, Lark, used to say that she thought of Ted as the Grinch on his bad days and the Cat in the Hat on his good days. He was definitely a practical joker or prankster, as you would get the feeling from the Cat in the Hat, and he could be a little bit of a curmudgeon about things like the Grinch."
But grumpy or funny, political or playful, Dr. Seuss stories all celebrate the power of the imagination, says biographer Charles Cohen. His favorite Seuss story as a child was On Beyond Zebra, about adding more letters to the English alphabet.
"He's saying, 26 letters, well, what if there are more? You don't have to take things that are given to you at face value like that. You have this brain, this wonderful tool, and you can create whole worlds just using your brain. And if you tell kids they have this great power, this imagination, they grow up then, and you never know what that will lead to in art, literature, science, whatever it is.
8-year-old Chloe Tomsu says she's already grateful to Dr. Seuss for many reasons.
I can feel that he really did care for children books and that he cared for us to have our good reading. And eggs and ham do go very nicely together.
The Seuss Centennial is being celebrated with reading programs at schools and libraries around the United States. The U.S. Postal Service is issuing a special Seuss stamp. And at the Dr. Seuss National Memorial in Springfield, Massachusetts, there will be a 100th birthday celebration on March 6th, complete with hat tricks, juggling, and a Theodore Geisel look-alike contest. I'm Nancy Beardsley.